Because like you dress your kids to the nine in the South, and here Ashley and I joke, we're like, why do so many kids just wear like just pajamas everywhere? It feels like, and you know, when we first got to Northridge, when we would like show up and our kids would be like, go to
dress
the,
nice.
People would make comments.
Yeah.
They'd be like, how do you afford all that good? And it's like, these are not expensive things. They're just actually nice. They look nice. It's not Spider-Man pajamas.
Our goal on this podcast is to know Jesus better and by the power of his spirit do better so together we can be a little better. Well, welcome to A Little Better. So good to be here after quite a while. It has to be like at least 4 weeks since I've been here, but I have enjoyed so much watching and listening to the podcast in my absence because we've had some great hosts. They have done a great job, great guests as well. And if you're listening and not watching, you don't see our guest today is Kristen Shugart, who is on our staff. And I always have to keep up Kids Ministry Executive Director. Is that your title?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. Even you have trouble keeping up, right?
I mean, never sure if it's Executive Director of Kids Ministry or Kids whatever.
I know. And I always have to look at the staff page and hope the titles are up to date. We all wear so many hats here. But what shocked me is I think we're on episode number 136.
Wow.
And yet, in 135 episodes, we've never had Kristen on. I can't believe that's true. So Kristen is really an incredible part of our staff and a subject matter expert on what we're talking about today.
In multiple ways, right? Yes. Not only leading our kids' ministry from a central standpoint, but awesome mom with two awesome ladies.
So. I will agree with the two awesome ladies. Yes. I've got two awesome girls. So.
Yeah. Well, do you want to fill in the blanks a little bit? Just introduce yourself. And I don't know how long you've been at Northridge. I know it's a long time.
We've been here since 2009, so about 15 years now. Mm. And I've been serving in kids ministry for almost that whole time, maybe a little bit less than that. Came on staff, I think around 9 years ago, maybe almost 9 years ago. So been serving in kids ministry in some form or fashion all that time. So, and as I said, I'm married. My husband, Andy, also serves in kids ministry. He's one of our storytellers. And I've got two beautiful girls. One is 18 and one is 14. And they serve in Kidsmen too.
Yeah. Incredible family. So let's go back and forth here a bit. We got to hit, Drew, your sermon in 60 before we get too far along here. So we are on, I got to keep track, week two of four because I said so. So our second week on parenting. So Drew, why don't you give us your sermon in 60?
Yeah, we just really talked about a perspective shift on parenting. Instead of like we're raising children, we're preparing disciples and raising disciples for the kingdom of God. And in order to have that mindset, we got to remember that our children are the Lord's, right? We are stewards of what he's given us. And our goal is not to make them happy. It's ultimately to lead to their holiness. And in that, right, their holiness is going to create joy in them. And so we talked about Moses and his instructions to the nation of Israel to really, one, raising disciples starts with you as a disciple, as a parent, as a future parent, a grandparent. Like out of what God's doing in you, it leads you to teach that and talk about God with your children. And so that's kind of the recipe to creating and raising disciples.
Yeah, well, listen, just jumping off of that, Kristen, I know this is a different order than we talked about before, but that kind of raises the question for me. You, as whatever your title is, what did you love about the message? What did you, you know, really hope stuck with people?
Yeah, I love the whole idea of everything that you said. The understanding that, you know, our goal for our kids isn't that they're going to be happy. You know, we've got to make sure that their priority is being pointed to Jesus, that the decisions that we make, the priorities that we set, the values that we create for our family, we need to make sure that they're really rooted in the Bible, in pointing them to Jesus. You know, it's so easy to either not think about it and just kind of go about. I mean, being a parent, you're busy and you're not always maybe intentionally focused on what are these decisions going to lead to down the road? Where do I ultimately want to see my kids? What do I want for them? I loved how you guys really hit on that and just having that focus on, it's not just on them being kids and, you know, teaching them how to tie their shoes and how to do math and all of those things that are still part of parenting. But ultimately we want something even bigger for our kids. Yeah. We want to see them know God and to love God and to follow Jesus and his example, that he has set for us. Mm. So I love just all the things that you guys hit on. That's, you know, partnering with parents is something that I've always been super passionate about. That's why I'm in kids ministry, because I want to see parents be intentional in how they raise their kids. I want to help to come alongside of them and help them to figure out how to have those intentional conversations with their kids, to constantly be pointing them to Jesus and not just to think that, like, oh, they go to church and maybe they go to Christian school or they're involved in VBS or whatever it is, that allowing other people to do that. I want to see parents really take that responsibility and, like, own up to that and, you know, find it in themselves, but also be able to point their kids, you know, set that example for them.
I love that phrase, partnering with parents, because, you know, we've done our best in this series to remind people that even if you're not a parent or you're a grandparent, you serve a vital role in the shaping of not just the kids you love, but the family of God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think if parents are listening, like, we want you to know as a church, you are not alone, right? Yeah. That's why we have kids ministry. I am a huge benefit of our kids ministry program. I have four little kids who are in that, come home every day, and I feel that partner, right? You are emphasizing things that we are talking about in our home. And sometimes we all know this as parents, like sometimes when someone else says it, it clicks, they get it. Or they're like, okay, mom and daddy aren't just crazy. You know, other people are saying the same things. And I love that as a church and, you know, in multiple areas from birth all the way to adulthood, we are a family together working and prioritizing the next generation of our families.
Yeah. Kristen, what opportunities then are there for us to partner with parents? I mean, maybe you're a parent, maybe you're not a parent. What are the ways that we as a church family can get involved?
I mean, obviously bringing your kids, you know, to whether it's kids ministry, whether it's NYM, youth ministry, having them be involved in those ministries. Mm. We have people who love kids or love youth and love teens and want to help point them to Jesus. Yeah. So I think that's a key. I think as a parent, if you can pick one service and consistently come to that service, because
that's a good point.
For us, a big part of kids ministry is developing those relationships, you know? And so when those kids have that same small group leader or small group assistant or teacher or youth group leader or whatever it is, when they're consistently with them, it is giving them somebody else who's going to be telling them the things that you want them to hear. Yeah. It's great to have other people, you know, telling your kids the same thing that you want them to hear. And so having them come to that is a great way of just having those relationships available. We try to support parents that beyond that, like, we love to have parents serve in kids ministry. Mm. That's, again, as I said, that's how my husband and I got started. We started serving in the same classroom as one of our kids, and it really helped us to be able to know how to kind of shape those conversations after a Sunday, because we knew what they learned.
Yep.
We know the kids that were in their classroom. We saw the other volunteers, and so it really helped us to be able to have those conversations throughout the week. I think that's just another, you know, easy way for parents to get involved. I think, you know, outside of that, maybe you serve in another area, and so that's not, you know, something you can do, but we try to provide, you know, resources for parents. We have take-home sheets, you know, depending on the age of the kid, to help you see, like, this is what my kids learn. These are some questions I can ask them. We've got text blasts that we can, parents can sign up for. They can get a question at mealtime. We talked about that in Deuteronomy, just talking about things all throughout our week. And so it's just a question to be able to ask your kids to kind of get conversations going.
I think those, some of those things are like, even like, again, I'm the lead pastor of this church, and how influential those resources are. I think of Easter, you guys gave us all the stuff leading up to Easter, and take advantage of the things. I think about I think it's called the parent queue. We get like a email sent out, like, here's the verses that your kids are memorizing. Here's what they're learning. And it gives you an opportunity to do exactly what Moses says of like, hey, tell me what you learned about that verse, or what's your verse, or hey, have you, let's memorize it together and let's talk about it. What is this verse saying? And you're just reinforcing things that we want our kids to be learning and growing in. And so there's, our kids ministry offers almost more resources than you can use. Yeah. And I think as a family, you pick and choose those resources that really hit your kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I really think like having the conversations, I mean, obviously we're not pros at this parenting thing. We've got two girls, you know.
That's what grandparenting is for.
Yeah, there you go. We'll improve by then maybe. But I do think that having conversations, like ongoing conversations, has just been so critical for us as parents. Just so that you can have all those, you know, you talked in the message about some of those tricky conversations, whether it's, you know, we're talking about sex or we're talking about technology use or whatever it is. When you have those ongoing conversations with your kids all the time, it just feels more natural. It doesn't feel like this, like, oh, we've got to sit down and have this meeting and we've got to have this important conversation. It's just you're constantly talking to your kids. So whether it's about what they learned on Sunday or it's something else, just really trying to have intentional conversations all the time with your kids. I think for us, that's made a huge difference.
And I think I love what Ashley said, because this is kind of how we live, is 100 1-minute conversations versus one 100-minute long. And I think that helps as parents. It's like, I don't have to say all the right things. I can just have a natural conversation, like over and over again. Like the conversation really never ends.
Yeah.
It just keeps going. And the pressure of a parent, I can have a 1-minute conversation with my kids about anything. Now, having to write a sermon for them is like is daunting.
Yeah.
And so
they don't want to listen to a sermon either.
Trust me.
They
ask
start
my
kidding
kids.
You
they
out.
Know.
Yeah.
That's great. You guys, I don't even have to ask questions. You guys are just rolling with this. So another thing, was it Ashley that was talking about just the investment in our time with God, our investment on our knees, our investment in prayer, our investment with our relationship with God, that is an investment in our children. And I love that. And I know that we were talking before the podcast started rolling about just the impact of first-generation Christians, like in our family, and then the passion. And Kristen, time and again, you've recommended that book, Raising Passionate Jesus Followers. I just love that title so much, and the word that passion is in there. But it's not just about like lecturing our kids, or this is the way it's done, my way or the highway, anything like that. It's just like that we as parents are passionate about the God, our God, you know, and our Savior. And for me to look back, you know, at my own parents, but especially at those who were first generation, and that passion and the way it changed their lives and how influential that was. I don't know if you guys have any comments about just those who influenced you, you know, whether they were parents, grandparents, or further back, or whatever.
I mean, I obviously I think of my dad, I think of so many people. I think that's the beauty of parenting, is like, and being raised as a child, like, not only did my parents influence me, but I think of some of their friends, right? Like if you don't have kids, you're friends of someone who does, don't underestimate. I think of John Garman. He was my dad's best friend. I love being around him. I love just hanging out with him, playing cards with him. Mm-hmm. And he probably never even knows how much that influence had on me. And if you think about your life, think about all the people who have impacted you. Sure, your parents have played a huge role, but their sphere of relationships and my parents' sphere of relationships has really impacted who I am today.
Yeah. That's one of the things for us, like as parents, we've tried to invest in some of the people who can invest in our kids. Yeah. You know, whether it's their small group leaders in NYM, or we've been blessed with some friendships on staff here, and those people have just poured into our kids. They don't have kids of their own, but they have invested time and energy and love into my kids. And so I just think that goes a really long way, you know, just for them to be able to keep hearing it, you know, kind of like what you're saying, the experience you've had.
My mother-in-law was a first generation. She became a Christian as an adult. And, you know, my wife grew up with just discovering her every morning. I know Ashley talked about that last week, but just discovering her every morning, you know, with her coffee, with her Bible. Mm-hmm. And her life was so intentional that every Sunday they were looking for people to bring home from church. Anyone new who showed up at church, they were going to be at dinner at their house. They hosted missionaries in their home so often. It was just her. She was just so enthusiastic about serving mm-hmm. the kingdom. But, and yeah, that kind of passion is contagious.
Well, and I think that goes back to investment, right? Oftentimes when it comes to parenting, we think of investment as what we're pouring into our kids. But I think a lot of it is what they're seeing in us. Mm-hmm. And I think it's always important. Like Moses doesn't start with like, here's some practical tips for your children. He says, no, you need to hide God's word in your heart mm-hmm. and in your mind. And the investment you make in your walk with God will pay dividends for your children. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we don't realize that. Like, I don't mm-hmm. think we see that. Like, man, me spending time in God's word is going not to just impact me, but it's going to overflow to not just my children, but my friendships, my relationships. And mm-hmm. I love where Moses starts there, because when you're with God, you'll talk about God. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I love when we were at Saranac a couple days ago. I think I shared this with you, but Drew got up at one point to like talk to all of us, and he stood up and he put his hands on a chair, and I saw Baylor get up right next to you, and you could see him just watching exactly what you were doing, and he put his hands on the chair too, and he was just standing there like mimicking what his dad does. Our kids are watching.
That's right.
Like they're seeing, they're picking up on all those little things. And so what better thing could we have them pick up from us than watching us spend time in God's word, pray for them, pray for others, love other people. Like, it's a big calling, you know, knowing that your kids are, they're watching you and you're setting an example for them. But man, we got to really like try to do our best to live up to that.
Well, and I think where you are investing, right, it comes back to that question, determines the destination, right? And I don't think we, you know, I think there's an expression like begin with the end in mind. And I think that's so true in parenting. Like where do I want my kids to be? Who do I want them to be like? And what actions and choices do I want them to make? And if I view it that way, now I can create steps and investment. What are the things I'm going to invest in that will lead to that place? Sometimes I think as parenting, and listen, I'm so guilty of this. I'm just flying by the seat of my pants. I don't have a plan. I'm just like, God, get me through the day. But I think as a couple, I'm sure you and Andy had multiple conversations of like, hey, who do we want our girls to be and how do we get them there? And I think that's a huge part of parenting.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the most impactful. There were many, many impactful parts of this message, but at the beginning when you were just laying out, you know, all those things that sound so good, you know, my kids to do well in sports or to get into a good school, get a good education, get a good career, be healthy, be safe. You know, who wouldn't want all of those things?
That's right. Yeah.
But then when you turned it and said, but we're not raising children, we're raising disciples. Mm-hmm. And we have our dreams, but what are God's dreams, you know, for our kids? And they're probably, I know it's interesting because there are many things that our kids catch, and then there's some things they're going to push against, you know, and react to. But it's the countercultural things, you know, that we're intentional about, you know, that catch their, you know, attention. And I loved when you said we're not raising successful Americans. Mm. You know, we're raising disciples, which makes me think that really every country across the world, every culture throughout time, there's always going to be a tension between what the kingdom of God looks like and what your culture is pushing, right? So we're going to preach these sermons, we're going to answer these questions a little differently living in 21st century America right now than some others do across the world or in different, you know, parts in time. But I just love the very practical talk you and Ashley had about technology, different things that there are so many pressure to grow up so quickly, so many things that you just have to be countercultural about. But I don't know if there's any more comments from you guys, but it's so hard to know what flow to resist, you know, and counter.
Well, I think Ashley's right. Our culture is constantly telling our kids they're older than they are and that they are ready to make decisions when they're not. And I think as parents, as much as we can to slow that process down, to let our kids be kids and let them enjoy life without the pressure of trying to make decisions that they shouldn't make or seeing things that their brain and their psyches are not ready to handle or process. Mm-hmm. And I think protecting your kids from that, mm-hmm. I think what's hard is, what's really hard for me as a dad is to tell my kid no, and then her friend or another friend, their parents say yes. And then they are like, well, this person gets this and why don't I?
Yeah.
And you know, in our culture, that we're butting against that as mm-hmm. Christians all the time, as trying to shape our kids like, hey, you might desire this, but this is not what's best for you. Mm-hmm. And those are hard conversations to have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think too, like when parents think of what goals that they have or what vision they have for their kids' future, I think if we can make it that it's to please God, that just covers so many things. When you're constantly focused on, okay, teaching your kids, how do I please God in this moment? Then if I'm studying and I'm being lazy about it, like that doesn't please God.
Right.
You know, kids, you need to work hard at something. You need to be kind. You need, you know, if the goal becomes to be like Jesus or to try to please God in everything that you do, a lot of the things that your kids then deal with, like it's going to work out, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. maybe they're not going to be a professional athlete through that, but if they do and they choose to please God, what a testimony they could have. So I feel like if we can try to emphasize like pleasing God as the goal for us as parents, like helping for us to do that and then for our kids to do that.
Yeah.
And I think what's hard in that journey is like good things turn into idols to mm-hmm. us and our kids. Mm-hmm. Like I'll speak from experience. I'm an athlete, right? I played 4 sports in high school and 2 in college. And in my, you know, junior and senior year, I traveled all the time for basketball. Mm. I did. Like it was a job. And I look back at my years and I'm like, man, I wish I didn't do that. Mm. It became an idol to me. It literally got in my walk with God. And I think parents, we're so guilty of this. I'm so guilty of this. Like I want something for my kids that they don't even want for themselves.
Yeah.
Or I'm pushing my kids so hard that they no longer are doing it to please God. They're doing it to get something or achieve yeah. something. And it's hard because sports, I learned so many good mm-hmm. lessons. I believe God gave me talent to use for his glory. Mm-hmm. But we have to be careful that these things don't become idols, right? Yeah. They are good, God-given things, but we have to shape and protect our kids from falling into those traps because our enemy is so good at making good things mm-hmm. God things.
Yeah.
Well, I love the wisdom that's been shared here, you know, week after week and here, you know, in this room. I want to just end and wrap it up this way, and I don't want it to be a negative. I want it to be an opportunity for the gospel and for our trust and hope really is, but what would you say to parents who believe, I blew it, I missed it, the window has passed me by, I should have done these things, I didn't do these things, or I did do these things and they didn't pay off, but for those who are in that position?
Yeah, one, the most amazing news is we serve a gracious God who covers all of our mistakes, right? Mm-hmm. And there is no perfect parent mm-hmm. out there. You don't have to be, we said this week one, you don't have to be a perfect parent to be effective. And so mm-hmm. don't miss out on the good that you did provide for your children. But if you do feel like you blew it, here's the great news, is there is so much power in prayer. Mm-hmm. And your kids might not even be in your home right now, but I believe God knows your heart and you can right now fight for your kids through prayer. Mm-hmm. God, I didn't do this well, forgive me, but God, will you use the good that I taught my kids to push them back to you, to guide them back to you? Like, mm-hmm. don't underestimate the power of talking with God. He mm-hmm. knows where your kids are and he is the author of their stories. Mm-hmm. And so he has the power to draw them back, to bring them back, to remind them of truths that maybe you missed. Mm-hmm. And so he's gracious, he's forgiving, and trust him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think your kid's story's not over yet.
That's right.
Even if they're not living in your home, God isn't done working in their life. Mm-hmm. And so I think just to remind yourself of that, you know, I agree with, you know, praying for them, but just continuing. I think even just being honest and vulnerable with them and saying, like, maybe you need to apologize. Maybe you need to say, like, hey, look, I messed this up and I'm sorry. Like, I hope this didn't, you know, hurt you or whatever the situation is. Those things can still be fixed. I think when we have life change happening in us and our kids can see that, that's a real testimony to them. Right. So maybe it's a matter of like keeping that relationship going, but letting them know, you know, I'm sorry about this, or I screwed up on this thing. And I think that vulnerability and humility can go a long way with kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Kristen. Appreciate your contribution. Can't believe we haven't had you here before. I'm sure we'll have you here again. Thanks, Drew. And thanks to Ashley. I know she's not on the couch today, but she was a huge part of the impact of that message. And we'll be again next week. It was another week of Drew and Ashley bringing some more wisdom in our series, our parenting series, Because I Said So. 2 more weeks ago. You won't want to miss them. Please come back. Great to have you here.